so hype right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama, baby, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making this show part of your daily routine, except for this holiday weekend where I took a Monday off. Hope everybody who celebrated the 4th of July had a nice, happy, fun celebration. I'm John Corrales. I host the show generally on a Monday through Friday basis. I cover the Boston Celtics for Boston Sports Journal, and I've written a book called The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, which if you're watching on YouTube is right here behind me. You can order it wherever you get your books or buy a signed copy on johncorrales.com. Today, I want to get into what the NBA Finals can teach us about these Boston Celtics. The Suns, the Milwaukee Bucks, they are getting ready on Tuesday night. This is the Tuesday show. Tuesday night, game one of the NBA Finals. And there is a lot, I think, that we can learn from these two teams and how it applies to this version of the Boston Celtics. Today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra at only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Stay tuned for the Ultra Player of the Week coming up later in this episode. So, three segments, three things that these finals can teach us about the Boston Celtics. And I'm going to start with patience. Patience is a hallmark of both of these teams. Why? How? Let's start with the Milwaukee Bucks, and let's just start with the best player, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Assuming that he's going to play, I don't know, he's got the hyperextended knee, but Giannis Antetokounmpo, patience with Giannis, because he didn't become a star right away. He was the 15th overall pick. He didn't come in with a ton of expectations. He grew while he came into the league. He added a ton of muscle after getting into the league. He started off his rookie year averaging less than 7 points a game. His second year, he averaged about 13, about 12 and a half. And it wasn't until his third year that he really started to get, you started to really see what he was going to be about. It was a progression. He didn't make an all-star team until his fourth year in the league. Patience with Giannis Antetokounmpo. First of all, drafting him and feeling good about him. No one knew, and the Milwaukee Bucks even said, we didn't know that he was going to be this good. So a little bit of luck, but the patience, because I'm sure early on there were Bucks fans who were thinking like, okay, who's this guy? What's this guy about? Patience to let him develop. Guys don't develop at the same rate. Different players don't develop at the same rate. Giannis, it took him to his fourth year to become an all-star, and the next thing you know, he's a two-time MVP. In relation to this, Jason Tatum has not come out and been a superstar right away. He's taken some time to add to his game. Similarly to Giannis, add a ton of muscle. Both came into the league super, super skinny. And Tatum has now started to add more and jump into that superstar conversation. He didn't make an all-NBA team this year. I think the COVID circumstances changed things a little bit, but here's a guy that a lot of people expect to be in that all-NBA conversation, probably for most of the rest of his career, you know, throughout his prime. And Giannis right now is 26, and Jason Tatum is 23. Well, Giannis at 22 made his first all-star game, which is what Tatum did. So these trajectories are somewhat similar. It's the patience. And now let's go to the Phoenix Suns side and DeAndre Ayton and the patience that you need for Ayton to become what he's become early on. And in this emotional, immediate gratification, people are saying, you know, okay, Ayton in this draft that featured Luka has now acquitted himself quite nicely as the top pick here. Like he started out as a guy that played no defense, offense first, couldn't do certain things. And then it took him time to like, all right, let's put in a certain amount of work. This is the type of work that we need to do. You bring in Chris Paul, that veteran leadership that shows him, okay, oh, I see what CP3 now has to do to get himself ready for games. Now I have to understand how I get ready for games. And the same thing with Devin Booker. The patience to let these stars develop. A lot of times, guys like Tatum, guys like Brown, they're still adding to their games. They're still learning the league. They're still learning different things about themselves. They're still testing their powers. So the patience, but it's not just with the stars, it's with the role players. And you look at just the former Celtics, two former Celtics that are on the Phoenix Suns now, Etuan Moore and Abdel Nader. Two guys that, like, second round picks, late second round picks, like 55th, 56th overall pick, that started out with the Celtics. A year into it, they both got traded out for, you know, Nader needed, you know, they needed the spot, they were going to waive him and they ended up trading him. Moore was part of a bigger deal. And so you could tell that Etuan Moore was going to be a decent shooter. But these guys that started out at this level down here, over the course of time, have been able to carve out somewhat of a niche. Now, Nader is younger, and so he's still kind of on the bench for most of the time. But Etuan Moore, especially, he earned a four-year, $34 million contract with the New Orleans Pelicans. After bouncing around a little bit and showing what he could do, the patience to develop and figure out how to play in the NBA. I'm not saying the Celtics should have had the patience with Etuan Moore. It's, you know, it is what it is. Sometimes you got to bounce around, but look at what he's become. Look at what he had been. Nader is getting certain minutes to kind of show that he can attack and get to the line. He was helpful in some of these games, even though he might get 5 or 6 minutes, he was helpful. So I bring them up to say, you don't know yet what Aaron Nesmith is going to be, what Romeo Langford is going to be, what Grant Williams is going to be, because you look at different players on these teams and patience and time allows these guys to become what they're going to become. Now, sometimes a team doesn't have the time to see the development all the way through. That's fine. That's going to happen. Maybe Nesmith, maybe Langford, maybe Grant. They're one, two, three of them are going to end up somewhere else. Hard to say. And I'm not saying this makes them, you know, untradeable or changes their value. But what I am saying is guys on this team, this Celtics team, develop at different rates. And now we're starting to see Tatum ascend to a potential MVP level. And we're starting to see Jaylen Brown ascend to a potentially multiple time all-star. And who knows how much further can he go? I mean, could we be having a conversation that Tatum and Brown are going to be stealing MVP votes from one another? Who knows? Maybe, because we don't know where these guys are going to go. They're so young. And we look at Nesmith and Langford, who people have just been like killing, Langford especially, but time, give them a little bit of time to see. Just, this is why I look for signs in players. I'm looking for signs of what they can do, who they can be. And I see certain things. Now, signs show up in players who maybe never realize their full potential. For every Etuan Moore, there's a James Young that doesn't pan out. There are guys that have the tools, have the signs, but never realize their potential. That's also true. But watching Romeo Langford and seeing things that he has done and the signs that he can be good, I like the idea. And I think the Celtics are in a position where, like, you kind of have to see it through. You don't just jettison these guys especially when you don't have an opportunity to get something better, to upgrade. If you're just saying like, yeah, attach him to this guy, get him out of here. No, this is a guy who can be useful and maybe more than useful. Maybe he could be impactful. So I think one thing that I see in both of these teams is the patience and the time to let certain things develop and being the beneficiary of certain guys developing over time. And so that's one thing that I think is really, really important for the Celtics team. Now I turn to the Michelob Ultra Player of the Week to add one last name to this, and it's Jay Crowder. So I'm giving the Michelob Ultra Player of the Week to Jay Crowder, former Celtic who came in here with a chip on his shoulder and played his heart out, was always just always right on that edge, right on edge. He took everything to the limit. And he got up in John Wall's face, got mad at Celtics fans for cheering for Gordon Hayward the year before Hayward came over. He just always played with that edge, and certainly the Celtics could use that edge. But another guy where patience shows how important he is. And over the course of time, he went from Dallas, where he wasn't really used much. He came over in the Rondo trade. He really solidified himself and made a name for himself, earned a contract with the Boston Celtics, and then showed how important he is in Utah, in Memphis, in Miami, especially Memphis and Miami, where he really kind of was a difference maker. And I've said a number of times, Jay Crowder is a common thread through teams that overachieve. And when you talk about providing joy and happiness for the fans, watching Jay Crowder hit a bunch of three-pointers last season to knock out the Milwaukee Bucks was a lot of fun. And he's going to be in a position to do that again and maybe win a ring for him and for Chris Paul. And so I'm giving Jay Crowder my Michelob Ultra Player of the Week just for his persistence and just for him being a guy that has shown over the course of time that doesn't matter how you start in your career, it's how you progress and how you end. So it's only worth it if you enjoy it. And if he wins a title, oh boy, is he going to enjoy it. And maybe a bunch of Michelob Ultras too, which is great because they're only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. Joy creates success. And enjoyment isn't the end game. It is a whole game with Michelob Ultra. Hey, also, while you're at it, grab a Built Bar and get yourself the best tasting protein bar ever. And check it out. Limited flavor, Built Grasshopper Cookie. All right? The Built Grasshopper Cookie. I keep telling you that Built Bar keeps dropping these special additions, these special flavors every once in a while. It's like a thin mint cookie, all right? Without a ton of sugar. It's 150 calories, 17 grams of protein, and 5 grams of sugar. So if you're the type of person who likes the thin mint cookies, who doesn't, then check them out. Check out the Built Grasshopper Cookie. It's available this week only, July 6th through the 9th. So you only have a couple days left to get yourself this new flavor, Grasshopper Cookie. They sent them to me. I was talking about them when they sent them over, and I probably should still have a demo. I should have saved one, but I ate them all. They've got their regular flavors, their normal rotation, but the Grasshopper Cookie is the way to go right now. Go stock up. Check it out. Use the promo code LOCKED15. LOCKED15 is going to get you 15% off your order at Built Bar. So check it out. Check out all the special offers. Check out all the special flavors and the other products. But get that Grasshopper Cookie. Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. That's pretty cool. And it's also cool if you use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. Today on the road to the finals, our NBA finals coverage is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. And at 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, we can all enjoy the games a little bit more this postseason. And we're talking about the NBA finals and the lessons that they're teaching us about these Boston Celtics. And another lesson that I think is big about this finals is the importance of the mid-range shot. The mid-range shot is so important. And there's a misconception about mid-range shots based on the analytics. Now, I'm not like super, super crazy analytics, but I do understand their value. Like, so I'm not going to be like Chris Webber just crapping all over analytics every chance I get. The analytics are there for a reason. The numbers tell you things for a reason, but there's a misconception about the mid-range shot. Why are teams going for layups, free throws, and three-pointers and cutting out the mid-range shot? Generally, it's because people are bad at the mid-range shot. And because the math works out, if you take 100 shots from three and 100 shots from two, if you take 100 shots from that mid-range shot, the mid-range area, and you hit 50, you score 100 points. If you take 100 shots from three and you hit 34, you score 102. So that's why the 34% three-point shooting equals 50% from the mid-range. And that's why people, teams shy away from the mid-range, because only the best of the best shoot 50% from mid-range. That's an area reserved for the Chris Pauls of the world, the Kevin Durants. But you know who else shot 50% from mid-range? Jaylen Brown last season. Jaylen Brown shot 50% from mid-range, up from 42% the year before. Chris Paul, I've watched Chris Paul bury teams, especially the Clippers, with mid-range shot after mid-range shot after mid-range shot over and over and over again in these playoffs. It's kind of fun to watch, actually. And you even see it with Milwaukee sometimes, Chris Middleton. Though Middleton's more of a three-point shooter, but I look at the Suns team especially, and look, Devin Booker hits them. There is such a need to hit that shot in the playoffs, because playoffs is about getting somebody open and hitting what you can hit. Whatever you get, the best shot you can get is the one you got to make. And I look at the Celtics, and Jason Tatum has been awful in the mid-range. Awful. He shot 38.7% last year, 38.3% the year before, 36.6% the year before. His best year was his rookie year, and that was still 43.7%. That is not good. That's not good. And Tatum takes a lot of those shots fading away, sliding to his left, sliding to his right. He loves taking those shots. When I wrote the piece late last season about Tatum isolating, this is the shot that I was talking about. That mid-range shot from that mid-range area where that free throw corner, like each elbow, where he loves to just get there and turn and fade away, that shot's got to go away. That shot's got to go away for Jason Tatum. And this is going to play into what I'm going to talk about in the third segment. But Tatum needs to attack, and if he's going to hit if he's going to take those mid-range shots, he's going to take better shots from there. What's the difference between Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum's mid-range shot? Well, Jaylen Brown's mid-range shot is very often on a drive where he's going north-south and the defense drops back and he's looking at the rim, and very often he just stops at the free throw line and pulls up for a jumper there. Tatum is very often backing his way down or turning and spinning. He's not seeing the rim. He's spinning. He's fading. He can get that shot off anytime he wants, but he really needs to readjust. The isolation where where he was scoring 0.8 points per possession in the regular season was filled with those fadeaway jumpers. The isolation in the playoffs where he scored 1.2 points per possession, those were a lot of drives. That was a lot of attacking, setting his guy up, getting by him, some floaters too, but stuff going towards the rim. What I'm afraid of is that guys keep trying to perfect their three-point shots and their fancy three-point shots, their sidestep threes, their step-back threes, their all of that stuff, those hard three-pointers. which is super important. I'm afraid that there's not enough emphasis on the playoff shots. And the fact of the matter is that playoff basketball is just different. And the Boston Celtics and their two stars need to make sure that they are aware of the playoff shots that they're going to take and the regular season shots that they're going to take. And there's a difference. But a lot of times when we look forward to maybe next year's playoffs, it might be Jaylen Brown who's doing some takeover work. And think about Jaylen and Jason playing off of each other and having Jaylen Brown get to the free throw line, hit those jumpers when somebody's playing a drop coverage, when Milwaukee's playing their coverage that they like to play. Think about him getting to that spot, killing them with threes, then drawing defenders up and then dumping it off to guys cutting back door, or sucking in the defense and then kicking it out to Tatum, and then Tatum either hitting that shot or then driving and Jaylen replacing, or somebody else, or Tatum driving and someone cutting and Tatum finding that guy. That's the stuff that I'm going to be looking for from these guys. But that mid-range shot, I'd love to see these guys get them. Let me backtrack. I'd love to see Jaylen Brown stay at 50% and not be afraid to take that shot when it's open. Don't fall in love with it. Don't rely on it for the entirety of the regular season. You still got to make sure that you're trying to drive and get to the rim and draw the fouls and all of that stuff. But if you can still keep that shot there, keep it at that 50% number, he's going to be a huge, huge, huge factor in the playoffs. And Tatum needs to figure out how to get himself to that spot. All right. I talked about it a little bit here with Tatum. The next thing that I'm going to talk about in segment three is the sacrifice. And that's something that I'm looking at in these NBA finals that got these two teams to where they are. Now, you can go over to Bet Online and bet on these NBA finals. The Phoenix Suns are favored right now, which is interesting. I feel like I'm still leaning towards Milwaukee. And if I want to lay some money down, I can go to Bet Online, which is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action, whether you want to bet on the finals or other sports, baseball, international sports, WNBA, it's all there. Go sign up, use your laptop, use your mobile device, and use the promo code LOCKEDON. You're going to get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So create your username, create your password, sign up for free, plug in that promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get in the game. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Please gamble responsibly. You are not gambling when you go to rockauto.com to buy anything for your car or truck. It is a guaranteed winner no matter what you're going to buy, no matter how complicated or how simple. There are so many makes and models out there for cars that it's impossible for the chain stores to stock up on all of the things that you need. And it's impossible for them to have the different manufacturers there so you get the best price. They're going to have a couple of things and they're going to give you what they have. So don't waste your time. Use rockauto.com, a family business that has been serving do-it-yourselfers for 20 years. Again, no matter how complicated, if you know how to rebuild one of these engines, great. Go to rockauto.com, their catalog, their website, very easy to navigate. Plug in your specs, boom, it's all right there. Something simple, you need new wipers, you need new carpet, they have that there as well. So go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts that are available for your car or truck. And when you do buy something, and I think you will, write "Locked On" in there, "How did you hear about us" box, so they know we sent you. It's an amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com.
Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
The third thing that the NBA Finals is teaching us about the Boston Celtics is the necessity for sacrifice. I talked about patience in segment one. I talked about the specific mid-range shots that are important in segment two. The sacrifice, it might be the most important thing, and why I saved it for last. The sacrifice that Giannis Antetokounmpo made to adjust his game to what the team needed. Now, he very easily could have said, "Hey, I'm an MVP, two-time MVP. you guys are just to me, man. I'm going to keep doing what I do, and you guys got to figure this out. And what the team said was, you know what? We need to fix this, because the regular season stuff is great. Yeah, you're an MVP, but it's not helping us in the playoffs, because they're just preparing for us. They're scouting us. They're making their adjustments and building that wall. And we're not prepared. We can't do that with you playing this way. So they said, we want to make you more of a screener. We're going to stick somebody in the dunker spot, which is going to take away some of the lanes that you might have to drive. But here's how we think it's going to go. And that's pretty much how it's gone. Hasn't been perfect. It hasn't always been pretty. But Giannis is much more of a screener and trying to play more of a style that fits his teammates. It's a very anti-Ben Simmons type of scenario, where Ben Simmons, I'll never forget, man, Ben Simmons, it was a couple years ago where he said, so they asked him about his lack of shooting, and they list, you know, somebody was listing off all the things that he can't do. He said, yeah, I'm still an all-star. And he hasn't improved at all in anything. So what does that mean for the Boston Celtics? It's hard to say specifically, although what I was just talking about with Jason Tatum, that has to be part of it. Like, Jason Tatum needs to sacrifice that mid-range part of his game, or retool it, or do something, because that's not helping the Celtics. That mid-range fadeaway stuff that he pulls way too often in the regular season, it's not something that's helpful for this team. And the other stuff that he does is obviously awesome, and you know, he's going to probably be an MVP candidate, if not next year, some point soon. But that need to sacrifice and adjust and change based on what the team needs as well is necessary. He's going to have to adjust his game. And so will Jaylen Brown, and so will everybody. Because no matter what the Celtics do, if you add a third star, that definitely necessitates some sacrifice. But if they don't, then the Celtics are going to have to do some other things. And as much as it is on Brad Stevens to build a team that complements Tatum and Brown, it is also incumbent on Tatum and Brown to make whatever necessary adjustments there are to their game to uplift the team around them. And if that's asking them to pass a little bit more, to give up some of the shots that these guys think that they can hit, especially early on, to make sure that they're feeding certain guys on the team, because those guys are going to need some shots, because they're going to need their confidence built up. And yeah, we can come in here and say Tatum's the best player and Brown's the second best player, and they're both at this level and everybody else is down here. There's still no reason for those guys to be like, yep, you guys got to try to keep up. You have to also prop them up a little bit. Every once in a while, a shot that you want to take, Tatum or Brown, maybe that ends up being a pass to work the ball around some more and get everybody involved, so everybody feels like they're doing something. This is a super important concept that goes beyond just making baskets, that everybody on that team has to feel important. Like, you can't have 82 games of everyone just saying, we pray to the altar of Tatum and Brown. Like, we can't just have everything surround those two players. Those two players have to be part of the collective of the team. Now, I'm not saying I don't expect them to be that. Of course I do. They're great players, and I think they're great teammates. But I'm just saying that in the context of this, whatever team the Celtics put out there, they are going to have to have moments where they give up something that they might want to do, a shot that they might want to take, something that they might want to, you know, however it works out on the floor, to make sure that maybe it's Marcus Smart that benefits, maybe it's Al Horford that benefits, maybe it's Romeo Langford or Grant Williams. You have to prop these other guys up. You have to give them the confidence to be good teammates right back. Because when the best player is out there saying, hey, I move the ball to you, I trust you, take that shot. When I drive, yeah, I could have taken that layup, but You are open. That's a better shot. I'm giving it to you in the corner for a reason. Take that shot. And you build up that player's confidence, especially if it's a younger player. Aaron Nesmith, for example. Those are the guys that are going to need some boosting. And when the playoffs come around, yeah, that's when you say, all right, look, I'm going to take over here. I got this. But when the regular season, the grind of the regular season, you're going to need these guys. You're going to need these guys to handle some of the workload. So we're not killing Tatum and Brown and asking them to do everything. I think that wears them down. And that takes away their defensive abilities. You know, if you're trying to do everything on offense, then they slack on defense, and we don't want that. So the sacrifice that we have seen from especially Giannis to go out there and change his game is a lesson for these Boston Celtics. Go out there and, all right, the team needs me to adjust. And everyone else will say, geez, if Tatum's adjusting his game based on what the team needs, based on what Coach Udoka asked him to do, then I've got no basis to grumble about anything that I'm asked to do. Tatum's doing it, I got to do it. There's a lot of leadership involved here. There's a lot of respect that's earned in a situation like this. So we'll see. I have no specific exact thing, but we'll see it as it develops over the course of the season. I like where these guys are. They're young. They're learning. Tatum and Brown are learning what leadership is about. They're learning how to do this stuff. And I think they see how Giannis is playing, and I think they see how these teams have worked together and how some teamwork and some sacrifice and some patience and being able to hit the right shots, all of it combines to take you to the NBA Finals. I'll be back tomorrow. We're going to start hearing from Team USA this week, so we're going to hear from Jason Tatum this week. Jason Tatum has arrived in Las Vegas for the Team USA training camp. The USA exhibitions start over the weekend, so basketball is actually coming back. USA basketball is coming back, so we're going to watch those guys. We're going to start seeing practice footage and all of that. So that's going to be wrapped up into some of the podcasting that's coming up this week. So make sure you're subscribed wherever you get your podcasts. Watch the show on YouTube. That is really exploding. Thank you all so much for subscribing and all of that. Hey, and make sure that you're checking out the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 that's coming up starting July 19th. That is not that far away. It's presented by Locked On and Odyssey. And what happens is all of the Locked On hosts we get together. Well, not me, because the Celtics don't have a pick, but the Locked On host plays GM. They play out the first round, trades, picks, all of that stuff. Chad Ford is going to be an analyst for this. Scal is going to be an analyst for this. Ryan McDonough is going to be an analyst for this. And it's all going to be done over the course of a week starting July 19th. So search for Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 on the new Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Odyssey is your audio home for all the sports, podcasts, music, and news that matter to you. That's AUDACY.